And you can't improve on them, amen. I love some new songs that have been written that have the right melody to it, amen, and have the right message and the right music. But I'll say I appreciate the old hymns of the faith and never want to get away from them, amen, and I appreciate the Lord. I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning, and if you're a church member in your own realm, you probably already know what I'm going. I never do this, but I felt led this week as I was just praying about the service and praying for what God would have me to do and what he would have me to say. But the Lord spoke to my heart middle this week about what I'm going to preach on this morning and what I'm going to preach on tonight, God willing. And I want to preach a simple, and I know all my preaching is simple, but I'm saying it with intent. I want to preach a simple gospel message this morning because I think it's very, very needed in this hour. As Christians, I want to be reminded of the gospel, especially on Easter. But you'd be surprised, the people that may be in this room this morning that do not and have not ever had a clear presentation of the gospel. Might be a young person here this morning, and you have heard the gospel. But I pray this morning that the gospel will shine its light in your soul this morning, and you'll come to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. If you'll stand with us, if you're physically able, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 1. Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also as one born out of due season." Father, I pray this morning in Jesus' name, God, that you would help us in this hour. Bless the reading of thy word. Speak to every heart this morning. We do want to thank you for the good singing and the presence of God that has been in this place this morning as we think about and we celebrate the resurrection of your dear Son. I pray now, Father, that you would speak to every sinner that's here. May they come and be saved on the terms of the gospel, whether young or old, rich or poor. I pray they'd be saved this morning. I ask you, Lord, to reclaim those who are backslid and encourage the hearts of your people. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. You know, the word gospel simply means good news. Amen. And Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 25 says, "As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country." And I'm glad this morning in 2025 that I can stand here before you and say, you know, there is some good news in a world that is full of bad news. Amen. I'm glad every bit of the news that we hear in this world does not have to be negative. It does not have to be bad. But thank God there is some positive news in 2025. You say, what kind of news is that? And that is that God is not dead. And his Son is not dead, but thank God he is alive. Amen. Brother, we don't celebrate this morning and we don't worship some dead God that has hands that cannot feel and eyes that cannot see and ears that cannot hear and a mouth that cannot speak. But thank God we celebrate a resurrected Savior and a resurrected Lord. And he is alive this morning. He's alive at the right hand of the Father. And thank God he's alive in the recesses of my soul this morning and in your soul if you've been saved by the grace of God. Amen. I want to say this morning that when we think about this good news, I want to just to say on the outset of this message that there is some good news about sin this morning. You know, there's not a lot of good news about sin. The Bible said, "The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die." Amen. The Bible says, "To be sure, your sins will find you out." Amen. But I want to say this morning, it also says, "Where sin doth abound, and sin doth abound." But there is some good news about sin. Amen. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 said, "There is none righteous, no, not one." Verse 23 said, "For all have sinned." Every person in this building this morning is is a sinner and has sinned. Amen. For all have sinned, the Bible says, and come short of the glory of God. David said in Psalms 51, in sin did my mother conceive me. We were born into sin, and we were born a slave to sin, and we were born a sinner. But there is some good news about sin. Romans 6 and verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That same verse I quoted earlier in Romans chapter 5, I left part of it out on purpose. As it said, where sin doth abound, here's the good part about sin, grace doth much more abound. You see, you may be a sinner, and you are a sinner this morning, but the Bible calls God the God of all grace. And the James said, but he giveth more grace, and he resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. This morning, I want to say this morning, you may be a sinner, but God is a gracious God. And thank God there is more grace than there is more sin. And his hand will reach further down than what you could ever reach up. And for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men this morning. There's good news about sin. And then there's good news about salvation. As we just said a while ago, Ephesians 2 and verse 8 said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, we can't earn salvation, and we don't deserve salvation this morning, but salvation is a free gift. And salvation is not in a plan, but thank God it is in a person this morning. It's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came into this world. He was born into this world. He lived in this world. He died in this world. And thank God he resurrected in this world. And he is alive. Revelation 1 and verse 7, Jesus said, behold, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and I am alive forevermore. Amen. And salvation is in Christ and him alone. Acts 4 and verse 12 says, the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. Hear me, sinner, this morning. God wants to save you, and you need to be saved. Amen. Ephesians 2 and verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. John 3 and verse 16, the Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his own only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm telling you this morning, there's good news about sin. You don't have to die in your sin. There's good news about salvation. Jesus Christ died for your soul, and he wants to save you this morning. Romans 5 and verse 8. Or verse 6 said, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm saying there's good news. A sinner, you can be saved this morning. There's good news about sin. There's good news about salvation. And then there's good news about security this morning. You say, well, if I get saved, if preacher, if I go down to the altar, I want to be saved, but I'm afraid if I get saved, I won't be able to live it. Well, I can go ahead and tell you, you won't. You'll fail. If salvation was up to me or you and the life that we were living, none of us would ever get saved. And none of us couldn't keep ourselves saved. But salvation is of the Lord. The Bible said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. This morning, I want to say security and salvation, it does not depend upon me, but it depends upon him this morning. Amen. And Jesus gave us that security in John 5 and verse 24 when he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Now, Now, how long is everlasting? That's forever. Amen. And did God ever make a promise and lie about it? No. Did he ever break a promise? No. Titus 1 and verse 2 said, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. But if you go back to verse 24, he said, he that heareth my words and believeth on me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. There's another promise. But it's passed from death unto life. There's another promise this morning. I'm talking about the promise of eternal life. In John chapter 10 and verse 27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them, and a stranger they will not follow. And he said, and I give unto them, here it is, eternal life, and they shall never perish. There's another promise. And he said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He said, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. He said, I and my Father are one. I'm saying this morning, if you're saved, thank God you're secure in the hand of God that can never be taken out. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. The hope of glory, the gospel, gives good news about sin, good news about salvation, and good news about security this morning. I'm saved not because of what I did, but because of what he did. I'm saved not because of what I said. I'm saved because of what he said. Two times in this passage we read this morning, Paul makes the statement, according to the scriptures. Amen. It is not my word and your word that is keeping us saved, but it is the word of God. My friend, you just have to believe the word of God and just trust the word of God. When the devil tells me I'm not saved, I call the devil a liar. And I believe the Bible this morning. Paul said in Romans chapter number 8, he said, nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. That's talking about God, isn't it? Paul said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm going to tell you, if God loved you enough to give his son, and if the son loved you enough to give his life, and if they both loved you enough to give you a promise, if you'll take the father, and if you'll take the son, and if you'll receive their word, and if you'll believe what they said, they will keep their promise, for they have always kept their promise, and there's good news about security this morning. I want to preach a few minutes on the subject, the gospel of the resurrection. The gospel of the resurrection. You see, in this text this morning, Paul is emphasizing the gospel. Do you see it in verse 1? Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. But when we get in chapter 15, we also know that we're on resurrection ground. Isn't that right? And so Paul is emphasizing the gospel. The gospel is three parts. It is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Paul, while he is mentioning all three that make up the gospel, there is one particular part of the gospel that Paul is emphasizing in chapter 15, and it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because our hope and our promise in the gospel this morning would be of no effect if our Savior was dead, if our God was dead. I'm glad Jesus died for our sins. I'm glad he was put in a borrowed tomb. But if he had stayed there, guess what? We'd have been no different than the Catholic. We'd have been no different than the Mormons. We'd have been no different than the Muslims. I'll tell you, but what separates Christianity from all the false religion of this world is the God that we sing about, and the God that we preach about, and the God that we worship. He is not dead. He's alive. He's alive. He is alive this morning. I'm glad he's alive. I know that he is living. I like that song. I don't like it when you know, Love Lifted Me. I like Love Lifted Me, don't you? But I don't like it when you get in church and they do them little corny things where you got to do this. When you sing Love Lifted Me, I'm sorry, I'm a rebel. I don't do it. I reckon it's okay for camp, Brother Simpson, and it's okay, but it just, I'm just like, I ain't doing that mess. But I like the song, don't you? But I'm glad. David said he lifted me out of a horrible pit. Brother, I'm telling you this morning, you may feel like you're in a horrible pit, and if you're lost, you are in a horrible pit of sin. But he'll lift you right out, thank God, of that pit of sin you're in. Because the songwriter said, you asked me why, I know he lives. He lives within my heart. I'm glad he lives in our heart this morning. He's alive. And Paul is going to talk about the gospel, the resurrection. Let me give you about three thoughts and we'll be through. Number one, I want you to see the sharing of the gospel. Paul said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand. Paul wanted to share the gospel. And can I tell you, as Christians, that is our responsibility, is to tell others about the gospel. Amen. If you're here this morning and you're lost, it is no secret. That's what this service is about. It's about the resurrection. It's about Jesus. Amen. And we want to share the gospel with you. I want you to know what it is to be lost. And I want you to know what it is to be saved this morning. And Paul believed in sharing the gospel. And Paul, in verse 1, you'll notice he shared it personally. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you. Paul shared the gospel personally because the gospel was personal to Paul. You know, if you're saved this morning, Easter is, it's not about a bunny and eggs. Amen. It's about an empty tomb. A resurrected Lord. I'm telling you this morning, it's personal. And the resurrection, we celebrate it all year long as Christians, don't we? We don't have to change it all up just for this Sunday, but we'll still be talking about the resurrection next Sunday and the next Sunday because it's personal. Amen. And he shared it personally, and then he shared it publicly. Amen. He put it in the Word of God, and Paul preached the gospel everywhere he went. He shared his faith publicly. And my friend, if you're saved by the grace of God, it ought to be a desire to want to tell somebody else what Jesus did for you. I remember witnessing to a man years ago, and I asked that man if he was saved, and he kind of shut me down. And you may have heard people say this before. He kind of shut me down. He said, that's personal. Well, the truth is, it is personal, but it don't stay personal. It is so personal that it has to become a public profession of faith. And here we see that he shared it personally. He shared it publicly. He shared it preaching. He said, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. Romans 10 and verse 14 said, how shall they hear without a preacher? Amen. I'm telling you, we have a responsibility to preach the gospel. We must share it personally, but we must speak it. That means to proclaim it. That means to declare it. We must not be ashamed. Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Amen. I want to say this morning, the gospel is to everyone. And Paul talks about the sharing of the gospel. This gospel of the resurrection must be told throughout the world that Jesus is alive, that he's at the right hand of the Father, and that he wants to save you. Amen. There is the sharing of the gospel. These brethren in verse number 1, that's a family word. Moreover, brethren, amen, they had responded to the gospel. They had received the gospel, Paul said, which also you have received. I ask you the question this morning, have you received the gospel? Amen. They remained in the gospel wherein you stand. Now that had to do nothing with their salvation, but what it was proof is that they believed then is the fact that they still believe now. Amen. Say, Brother Gravely, how do you know you believe the gospel with all your heart? I'll tell you how I know that. The fact that I believed it then is the fact that I still believe it right now. You say, well, preacher, in the heart, somebody sent me this yesterday and I thought it was a good question. They sent in a question for me that made me think about the verse. Isn't the heart deceitful and above all desperately wicked? It is. But you see, this morning, our heart is not intended to guard our mind, but our mind is intended to guard our heart. And Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know how the gospel got down in my heart? It came through the eye and the ear gate, and it got in my mind. Jesus went about all the cities and the villages teaching first, then preaching. Why did he teach before he preached? Preaching has to, it's confrontational, has to deal with the heart, but teaching has to deal with the mind. Jesus instructed them, he taught them so that they could receive with their heart what they had heard and what had been in their mind. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, you can get rid of a lot of doubts if you'll quit dealing with your heart and just deal with your mind this morning. And if you'll let your mind rest in the Word of God, let your mind rest in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, Calvary, I had nothing to do with Calvary, but I received Calvary. Amen. I thank God for Calvary. You say, how do you know you believed? Because with my mind, I have made up my mind. I believe in the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I have made up my mind. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. I have made a conscious choice that I choose Him this morning. I don't care. Listen, don't doubt your doubts. Doubt your listen, believe your beliefs. Amen. I'm telling you, put your faith and put your trust not in what you doubt, but put it in what you believe this morning. Amen. You know why I can share the gospel? Because there is no doubt about it today. This morning, there's the sharing of the gospel. Secondly, I want you to note the saving of the gospel. Look at verse number 2, by which also you're saved. If you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, here it is, unless you have believed in vain. Now, how does a person believe in vain? It's when they believe anything other than what Paul is presenting here, the gospel. Believing the gospel is never in vain. For with a heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. For whosoever, verse 13 of Romans 10 said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hey, that just entered your mind. Do you believe that with your mind? Do you believe it enough with your mind to do what it said? Not just an intellect, oh, I believe that, passing it off, but do you believe it enough to get out of your seat and come do what it says? Will you believe it enough to come to this altar and call upon the name of the Lord? I believe if I call on the Lord, He'll save me. I'm telling you, if you believe that this morning, if you'll just do what it says, you can be saved. Amen. You see, the gospel is beneficial. He said, by which ye are saved. What is he talking about? What was it that saved this crowd? In verse number 1, it was the gospel that had been declared unto to you. What I'm saying this morning, sinner, you cannot trust yourself. You cannot trust your good works. You cannot trust an experience. You cannot trust water baptism. You cannot trust being a good person. But what you can trust this morning is the gospel message. If you will believe it, it's beneficial. Amen. It saves you. I want to say this, when we think about the saving of the gospel, it is beneficial. It is Bible. Amen. Paul says again in verse number 3, look at this at the latter part, how that Christ died for our sins. Here it is, according to the scriptures. Look at verse 4, he was buried and that he rose again the third day. Look at this, according to the scriptures. What happened in the New Testament had been declared in the Old Testament. I'm telling you, it was not done in a corner. It was not done in a dark place. But what Jesus, how he lived, how he died, his burial, his resurrection, it can be seen in the Old Testament. He spoke about it in the Gospels. I'm saying his death, his burial, his resurrection, it's according to the scriptures this morning. It's not what I say. It's what's already been said. The gospel should have taken nobody by surprise, for it had been declared over and over. The gospel this morning is Bible. Now, how many people do we talk to from day to day and ask them if they're saved? And almost 99% of them will tell you, oh, I'm saved. But when you ask them to tell you how they got saved, it's surprisingly how many people cannot just give you a clear presentation of the gospel. I want to say this morning, salvation is not wrapped up in a fuzzy, warm feeling. It's not wrapped up in some big experience, although you can have an experience with God. But that is not the gospel. Salvation is not wrapped up in, well, you know, I got this knot in my stomach, this lump in my throat, and I just about felt like I was going to throw up. And so I knew I was under conviction because of the way I felt. No. Well, Brother Gradley, that happened to me when I got saved. I'm sure it did. But there's other people it never happened to. If that's conviction in and of itself, if that's the gospel, then every person that never experienced that never got saved. You know what conviction is? It's when God turns a light on. It's when the gospel, the word of God, that's what he said, amen, whom the God of this world not blinded the eyes, but has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. I'm telling you, one day, as a little boy, I heard the gospel, amen. I couldn't have repeated the gospel back to you, but I'll tell you what that gospel did. It shined the light in my mind and let me see myself. I didn't know much, but I knew I needed to be saved, Brother Daddy. And the best way I knew how, I responded and received it. And thank God he did the rest. Amen. I'm talking about this morning the saving of the gospel. It is beneficial. It is Bible. And it is believing. Unless you have believed in vain. I can tell you in 2 seconds whether or not you're saved. You say, how can you do that? By simply what or who you're trusting in to take you to heaven. Amen. Amen. Well, if you're here this morning, you say, well, I just want you to know, Brother Gravy, I don't need to be saved. Well, I'm already worried about you. Because the people that run around doubting their salvation, they're not defensive about it. They struggle with it. You know, Thomas was a doubter, wasn't he? But Jesus never called him a doubter. He would call Thomas the Didymus, which means twin. And when you think about who Thomas is, Thomas, he made one of the greatest statements about the Lord in John chapter 21. I'm talking about a man that doubted. But he made one of the greatest statements when he said, my Lord and my God. I want to say this morning, unbelief is a choice. If you're here this morning, the Holy Ghost deals with your heart and tells you you're lost and you need to be saved, you have to make a choice. You make that choice with your mind, don't you? Decisions are made in the mind. You've heard, if you understand, that's why, if you understand that you need to be saved, you either choose to come and be saved or to go home lost this morning. And if you choose, or you may be here and say, I just don't believe any of that. That's your choice. Because when it comes to being saved, it comes down to that very thing. Do you believe in the gospel message this morning? Some hear it the first time and they believe. Some hear it many times over, but they just don't believe. Jesus would not do great miracles in some places because of their unbelief. The saving of the gospel, the sharing of the gospel. And then finally, I want you to see the story of the gospel. Look at verse number 3. Paul gives us the story, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. There's part one to that story. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Here's part two to that story, and that he was buried. And then here's part three, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. In that story, we see his sacrifice. He died for our sins. His silence, as for 3 days and 3 nights, he was buried. And then his strength, how that on the third day, the first day of the week, he rose again. You know, that's a simple message, isn't it? I'm not going to add anything to it this morning because the gospel doesn't need anything. The gospel doesn't need me to dress it up or fix it up. You say, what is the gospel? It's the fact Jesus died for your sins. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. And 3 days later, thank God, he come out on the other side. The stone was rolled away. We don't got to prop it up. We don't got to dress it up. We don't got to fix it up. That's a great message. Amen. He's the only man that ever died, was buried, and by his own power and his own might, God resurrected him from the grave. Thank God this morning. What a man. What a message. What a miracle. What a moment. Hallelujah. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to say this morning without apology, I believe it, I believe it, I believe it. Don't you believe it this morning? I don't just believe it with my head, but thank God, I believe it with all my heart. He is alive. Hallelujah. I don't care what anybody says. He's alive. But I like what Paul does here. He adds the support of the gospel. Look at verse 5. He just gives you a list. When Jesus got up, he didn't just go back to heaven and hide. But he was seen of Cephas, verse 5. Peter, the 12. After that, he was seen of 500 brethren at once. Now, Paul is writing here, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. When Paul wrote this, they weren't just a sum of them had died. Then after that, seen of James. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, he did not give his mother to James or John because they were unbelievers. Or to James, excuse me. But he gave it to John the Beloved. But after the resurrection, James became a believer. When he was seen of James, wouldn't you like to have been there when Jesus met his half-brother? And you know brothers are always going to say, I told you so. I told you. When we were little kids coming up, I gave you every hint possible. But he told him. He was seen of James. And then Paul says this, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. You know, it was much years later. Much years later. And sometimes I think about, you know, why did Jesus show himself to Paul? It could have been many reasons, but much years later, he shows himself to Paul on the road to Damascus. What does that prove? Well, it proves this. He's still alive. He hadn't died. Calvary had been, I used to know how long. Somebody can do the math on that. You know how long it was? I like calling you out. I want to say it was 30 years, but I don't know. That may not be true. But it was some years later. Brother Simpson doesn't know how long it was. We were preaching the other day, and I had something that we were together preaching up in Virginia, and I had a question I couldn't figure out. So I wanted to give an answer, but I didn't have a clear one. He was sitting there. I said, I just asked him. He didn't know that one either. No, you did know that one, didn't you? So you're one for one. Amen. But it's some years later, we can agree on that, can't we? He sees Paul. He's alive. And then some years after that, Brother Simpson, you know how many years when he saw John on the Isle of Patmos? Some years later, John's on Patmos, and John sees him. He said, what does that mean? Oh, he was alive after the resurrection. He was alive when Paul was on the road to Damascus. He was alive when John was on the Isle of Patmos. I'm going to tell you, he was alive then, so I have no problem believing he's still alive right now. He said he was alive. He said, behold, I'm he that liveth, and I was dead, and I'm alive for how long? Lord, you're going to live. He said, forevermore. Isn't it good to know that he only died once, and the only time he ever died, he died for you, and he died for me, and thank God he's never going to die again. Hallelujah. He is alive. Hallelujah. And sinner, this morning, I got good news for you. The gospel of the resurrection is this, is that our hope is not in some dead Savior that's hanging on a crucifix. That's why we're not Catholics this morning. We don't pray to Mary, thank God. We pray to Jesus Christ. We pray to the Father through the Son. Amen. And in the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you this morning, he's alive. And if you're lost without God, he wants to make you alive this morning. See, if you're lost, this is what you need. You need a resurrection. Ephesians 2 said, you're dead in your trespasses and sins. You're a walking dead man. You're a walking dead woman. When Adam sinned in the garden, all three parts of Adam died. His soul, his spirit died immediately at that point. He became dead. His soul became darkened and died progressively. He got worse and worse. And then his body died eventually. But you know, when a person gets saved, their spirit's quickened. They're made alive immediately. Their soul is progressively sanctified. Over time, they grow in the grace and the knowledge. And there's progressive sanctification. And their body eventually is glorified. There is coming a better day. Resurrection morning. Paul said, well, he said, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Anybody you ever put in a grave that's been saved, they're coming out on resurrection morning. Paul said, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Isn't that good? He's coming back with a shout. And with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, it's going to be music across the Milky Way. A shout of victory, a sound of victory is coming across the Milky Way. I'll tell you what it's going to do. It's going to cause a rustling in all the grave clothes of everyone that's ever been blood washed and everyone that's ever been born again, because the bridegroom is coming for his bride. Hallelujah. And they're coming up. The grave clods are going to come out and the bodies of the saints are going to rise and we're going to meet them in the air. Hallelujah. The Bible said, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Where are you going to be in eternity, friend? Are you alive or are you dead this morning? Let's stand.